It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to have you back with us, and I have Paul Levin as my guest this morning. So I hope everybody is experiencing a terrific weekend here. It's 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And before we begin our conversation, I want to remind you to be sure and go to the Boomers website on the SynergyConnectionRadio.com website itself. There's a link there that will take you into Boomers Forever Young, and the products there can be the foundation of your nutritional approach to life so that you are truly able to live your best life. If you decide when you're in that website to purchase any other products and set up your account online, you can certainly use my name, Lucy, L-U-C-Y, in the promo code, and you'll be able to get $5 off of your order. So keep that in mind as you look into the Boomer website. And like I said, Paul Levin is back with me today, and he's been on with me, I think, about maybe four times now over the last
four or five years. Yeah, it's been a while.
So you're an author, you're a speaker, you're what's considered a life breakthrough mentor and blogger. Which is
emotional kind of, breakthrough mentor.
Emotional breakthrough mentor. Okay, so that sounds kind of fun, and that'll work today with what we're talking about, which is inner peace.
Yes. You
know, and most people struggle to find that, I think, the majority of their life.
Yes.
So it's kind of cool that you are able to help them. You're also a certified hypnotherapist and a certified NLP, which is a neuro-linguistic programming practitioner.
Yes.
So why don't you explain how people can get in touch with you for sure, and then we'll start our program today, which is going to be built around finding inner peace.
Awesome. Yes. So my name is Paul Levin. The business name is I Deserve a Perfect Life. Don't you? I think you do. Now, you can find me on the internet at http://, you don't need that part, ideserveaperfectlife.com. ideserveaperfectlife.com. There you will also find my phone number, which I'll happily put out over the air here, is 813-841-5583. So if you need some assistance, you think I can help you, which I can, then just not with your plumbing or anything.
I had somebody calling
me for computer problems.
Oh, geez. All right.
But help you with your life, then feel free to go to the website and give me a call or send me a message.
Yeah. I mean, they can find you with Facebook. I know you could message people as well.
Yes.
So a lot of people these days are connecting through messaging services. I think that's pretty cool. I know LinkedIn, a lot of people connect with me through LinkedIn, but it's a messaging, you know, like, hey, well, I'd like to get to know you better kind of thing.
You bring up a very good point, and just because of that, let me mention, all the links are on my website to all the social media. I'll just mention on Facebook, the page is I Deserve a Perfect Life. On LinkedIn, the account is I Deserve a Perfect Life. So you can find me anywhere by I Deserve a Perfect Life.
All right. And I think that's so true. And most people don't have that ingrained in their way of thinking. So
well, yes.
They feel like they have to do things in order to measure up, to even have part of a perfect life.
Precisely.
So it's very cool that you're teaching people how to find that inner peace and that perfect life for them.
Yes.
So let's go forward. With inner peace, people struggle with that, I would guess, most of their life. I worked with children and families a lot in the very beginning, and little kiddos, you know, they may look happy, but so many of them are carrying around so much sadness inside, which then comes out as anger or getting into trouble on a regular basis, especially as they get a little older.
Mm-hmm.
Adults, you know, you see it more, I guess, in drug abuse and alcoholism in failed relationships because they're looking for something that they feel they don't deserve,
mm-hmm.
which is that inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you want to go with this morning?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's start from the very beginning.
Okay.
I just heard, who was the actress in the Sound of Music?
Good Lord, Julie Andrews.
Yeah, I just heard her say it's a very good place to start in the back of my head when I said let's start at the very beginning. And
that was part of the song.
It was. It's that song. For, mm-hmm. Yes. And the very beginning you had just touched on,
mm-hmm.
which is children.
Mm-hmm.
Look at a newborn baby.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of those few moments when they're hungry or they have pain, physical pain,
mm-hmm.
do they have inner peace?
I think they do.
I think they do, too. Mm-hmm.
Unless they have been born from a crack mom or something like
well,
that.
Well, then they're dealing with physical pain
physical
at that
pain.
Moment.
Yeah.
And
right.
Yes, and it could be, when I say at that moment, for that child, it could be a lot more than a moment.
Yeah, it could be a lifetime.
Could be constant.
Yeah.
And then that could be dealt with, actually, as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But they, most children,
mm-hmm.
are born in a state of inner peace.
Right.
Without any emotional baggage, without any emotional pain,
mm-hmm.
there's no resentment in them, there's no anger in them, there's no hatred in them, there's no disappointment disappointment is the one I wanted. There we go. There's no disappointment in them.
Mm-hmm.
Where does all that crap come from?
Our encounters in the world.
Exactly. It comes from growing up in this life,
mm-hmm.
in this world.
And what
this,
we do with it, how we interpret what's happening.
Precisely, precisely. So we lose our inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to give people something they don't have already. It's just hidden. It's hiding, and we're going to uncover it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to uncover it is to remove all those things that are making it be hidden. And we touched on something before the show began here. We touched on fear.
Mm-hmm.
You see, all of fear covers up who you really are. Who you really want to be. The more accurate thing is really who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
For so much of my life before my transformation, I remember sitting in my car and thinking to myself, if I could just be myself.
Did you know who you were at that moment when
not
you said that?
Not a clue.
Okay.
However, I knew it was not who I was being.
Okay.
I knew that there are things I would say to myself only in my mind or only when I was alone that I knew I could not put out there to other people. I could not be me. So it's not that I didn't, I did not know then who I know who I am now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But even then, I knew that there were things about me that I felt I could not share with anyone.
And what kept you from being able to share that?
Fear.
Okay, so a fear of acceptance?
Fear of acceptance, fear of rejection. Well, no, it would really be fear of rejection, okay,
mm-hmm.
right? Embarrassment, ostracize, financial repercussions, business repercussions,
mm-hmm.
career, right?
So if they really knew Paul, they mm-hmm. wouldn't want to, whatever it would be.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
When you live with that fear,
mm-hmm.
which we all live with 24/7, 365 a year,
mm-hmm.
when you live with that fear, there's no inner peace.
You know what I find that a lot of people do that do live with those fears, and I know you know this as well, is they're the do-gooders in the community.
That
you
can
know?
Happen. Well, or the other.
Well, right. But I find that an awful lot of them will, they may not want credit for it. They may work behind the scenes. But in order to manage whatever it is that they don't like about themselves, they will go out of their way for the homeless. They'll go out of their way, for friends, be there for them. And it kind of, in their mind, maybe makes
is
a
making
balance.
Up for...
Yeah, so yes. The balance scales are like, okay, I'm going to add 20 more percent over here to make up for the crap I'm putting in over here. That kind of thing.
What a horrible rat race that is.
That is.
Isn't it? Right? And the truth is, when you're living that rat race of trying to make up for something, for make up for who you are, make up for the things that people don't, you know, if they only knew, that would be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
When you're trying to do that, do you discover that you can never quite get there? You can never do enough.
Well, I keep thinking of a cat in a litter box.
Okay.
If you don't clean out the litter box, like I have a cat.
Okay.
So if I would not clean out the cat's litter box several times a day, and I know most people don't do that, mm-hmm. but you never know that I have an animal when you come into my home.
Yes, yes.
Because you don't have that, doggy mm-hmm. smell, cat smell, whatever. But a lot of it is just taking literally the crap out in order to not have that aroma, right? And in some people's lives, because they are constantly covering up, like a cat covers up whatever they've done.
Good point. Okay, now I got it.
Now
okay,
you got
now
it.
I got the analogy.
Okay,
yes.
So now you end up with kind of a smelly mess.
Point taken, yes. So, good point. So when we... Yeah, let's see how I can play with that. Oh, good. I get to play with this now. When we cover up our crap,
mm-hmm.
okay, we think it's hidden. It's not.
It's not.
All right? It's just
right?
not.
It's not.
Wouldn't it be so much better, rather than covering up that deep down anger,
mm-hmm.
that deep down feeling not worthy enough, that deep down sadness, rather than trying to cover it, wouldn't you rather just get rid of it?
I would think so. I mean, to me,
yeah. Now, what stops most people at that point? Yes, we have the lawn people right outside the window, and one of the nice things about having the lawn freshly cut, I just love the smell of
right.
fresh cut grass.
Right.
And your window is open, so we're going to get that smell in here. It's going to be awesome. Okay, now wouldn't you just rather just get rid of the pain?
Uh-huh.
And what stops people is they don't believe it's possible.
And how do they arrive at that kind of a thought? That
conclusion?
That conclusion.
Oh, that goes back to...
I can't get rid of this no matter what. I've just got to keep piling more stuff on. It's almost like somebody, too, I'll use another analogy, that... you know, hasn't washed their clothes in a while, so they put on more cologne or something like that. I mean,
oh God. Yeah, great analogy because yeah, you could put on more and more cologne, or you really could wash your clothes.
You really could, but
right?
then that's like the litter box. You have to clean the litter box. You have to wash the clothes. You have to somehow deal with all of this stuff that is making you feel inadequate.
Yes, and one of the problems, if you will, that most people have to deal with. It's an issue that I actually came to the realization after my transformation was the fact that the answers available to most people for dealing with that
mm-hmm.
doesn't work. They don't work. You can go... I mean, I saw a psychologist when I was in when I was in grad school. Okay, so mid-20s, okay? Early-20s, I guess.
For this issue? Like trying to find inner peace?
Oh, nobody ever goes for just that.
Yeah.
You go for the higher level problems. For me at that time, it was relationships, which went back to issues that go back to my mother and go back to... See, trauma happens to people.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's back up one step further.
Okay.
We have to, like I said, we have to start at the beginning, okay?
Right.
It makes no sense if you don't start at the beginning.
Right.
Before the age of 5, actually it's before the age of 7, the mind, the brain, is in theta.
Mm-hmm.
Theta is a dream state.
Which is why they can pretend so well.
Oh yes, totally.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you may ask a child before the age of 7, what were you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
They weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they were just dreaming and enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it happened to be in your reality that they were doing that,
mm-hmm.
all right?
Mm-hmm.
In that state, when a trauma, when a major interrupt to their happiness occurs,
right.
that's trauma.
Right.
And a trauma becomes instantly for them a belief. There's no filters.
Mm-hmm.
There's no ability to say, no, I'm not going to take that in and internalize that. They take it in and internalize it instantly.
All right, let's use that as an example for somebody listening, because I could hear somebody say, okay, what does that mean? So a trauma of any kind might be a divorce in the family, a relocation and losing friends, an illness, you know, maybe a near-death experience, for goodness sakes.
How about I give you something much smaller that is equally a trauma?
Mm-hmm.
I watched it create a belief in this little girl. Okay, little girl who used to live across the street from me, the family has moved since, and she had just gotten a brand new bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so happy. She was so excited. I happened to walk by and said, oh, come see my brand new bicycle. Well, also who came moments later was a little boy who lives next door to her. And they're the best of friends and they play all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes over and she goes, see my new bicycle. And he goes, can I ride it? And her reaction was no.
It's my brand new one.
It's my brand new bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother then says, let him ride it. At which she bursts into tears.
Sure.
She's now stuck in a dilemma. In herself, her truth is, I don't want them to break my brand new bicycle. Something could happen. That's another fear, okay? Yes, that she had been taught at a younger age.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But now the mother says, oh, don't be a baby. Just, you know, because she'd run into the house. She'd run into the house crying. And the mother yells in, don't be a baby. You know, get back out here and, you know, come back out here and whatever. I forgot what the mother said at that point.
You know, a lot of...
This is a trauma.
Right. I was going to say, you know, belief system, a lot of parents would have said, don't be selfish.
Yes. Oh, God, yes. Thank you. Creating the belief that, oh, now I'm selfish if I want my brand new things protected.
Exactly.
And that's, excuse my French, BS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Barbra Streisand, right?
Right.
Okay. That creates trauma. That creates a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
That we live with for the rest of our lives.
Because whenever we don't share, we're being selfish.
Or we'll go overboard to not be selfish and share everything.
Right.
So it does not matter if we're the person who is donating our time for charitable work or the person who is a Scrooge saying no to everything.
Right.
Right? It does not matter which you are. You're both coming from that trauma when you were less than 5 years old.
Right. And so then we start school.
Oh.
And, you know, you have like VPK now. So, I mean, you might be two or three in school. But certainly by the time you're in kindergarten or pre-K, depending on which one, you know, they start at, you have other filters that are reframing who you are. You know, teachers.
Other influences.
Right.
Not filters.
Okay.
You still don't have filters in yourself to be able to prevent yourself from damage, receiving the damage of the other influences.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking of the child who, you know, is growing up thinking, I have to share all of my toys and everything because otherwise I'm being selfish, self-centered. And then going to school and having a child there who, you know, maybe is going to reframe that for the boy or girl and they say, you know, give me your pencil.
Yes.
And if you don't give it to me, then I'm going to take it. And then the message inside is, no, wait, I can't be selfish. I have to give it, even though it's my only pencil. You know, that kind of conflict that begins. So,
and that would come along with that is a belief that I need to succumb to people who are demanding and want to take things away from me.
Okay, so...
See how devastating that one could become?
Oh my gosh, I'm just thinking, you know, too, even as we continue to grow up with that belief system, anybody who raises their voice is more domineering.
Precisely.
Anybody who, you know,
has a more powerful presence.
Yeah, bigger.
This is the woman who succumbs to abuse.
Exactly, exactly.
All because some bully took away her pencil when she was three.
And it can be, you know, abuse comes in so many forms. And so sometimes it can be a physically abusive, you know, powerful kind of thing. But there's so many that are emotional abuse where, you know, they twist and turn things to suit them and manipulate the situation so that it's all about them instead of a mutual understanding. You know, that I see over and over again in business and in friendships, you know. And so it all might be rooted back in that 5 or 6 or 7 year old and how they perceive situations. A girl that's smaller, not the tomboy maybe, that believes that the tomboys of her class, you know, have more rights than she does because she's smaller. She's more petite.
Yeah. So it dawned on me as we were talking there that we've left the subject of inner peace.
Of inner peace, because they don't have it.
Right. So let's come back. So we've determined the point now where we lose it. Let's come back now to how to get it back.
Okay. So now it's going to be a person that is somewhere between the ages, let's say, of maybe 25 and 80. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, that's good. Let's talk for a moment. Let's qualify the people who are able to make the transition. Okay. Out of those disempowering beliefs. So that's the transition we're talking about. So who's the person? First of all, the younger the better. The younger the easier. Why? Because we've lived with the disempowering beliefs for less time.
Exactly. So it's not, the splinter hasn't gone so deep that it's going to take surgery.
Yeah, because when you live with, just to take a moment on the negative side again, when we live with these disempowering beliefs, the longer we do, the more experiences proving it right we will have. Right? We will have more experiences over more time that prove that disempowering belief correct and valid and right. As we have more and more experiences, our trust in it, our belief in it, our belief into the belief, okay,
right,
becomes stronger. So the younger, the better. Okay? If you're 75, please don't exclude yourself. All right? Because the next criteria is the more significant one. The next criteria is you have to want to change. You have to want it to change. You have to get to that point. There's a great story. What? Tell me about time. Where can I see the time?
Oh, we've got lots of time.
What time is it? Like, so I can keep track. Because I'm going to go into a story that I don't want to be in.
Okay. So it's right
we
now.
We have until.
Well, just go ahead. Let me manage that and not you.
All right, cool. All right. So I'm going to go into a story. Okay. So there's the story of Johnny who goes to the zoo. And he happens to be standing outside the big gorilla cage. And he's standing next to Mr. Zookeeper. And Johnny looks up at Mr. Zookeeper and says, "Mr. Zookeeper, why does the gorilla look so sad?" And Mr. Zookeeper looks at him and says, "Well, Johnny, it's because he's sitting on a nail." "Oh, why doesn't he get up and move?" "Because the pain isn't bad enough yet." A few moments later, along comes a bee. And the bee is flying around the gorilla's face. And the gorilla's swatting at it and swinging at it, and he's getting frustrated. And finally, the gorilla gets up and moves to the opposite corner of the cage. "Mr. Zookeeper, how come the gorilla moved now?" "Because the pain got bad enough." So if you're at that point in life, whether it be 10 years old, because it could be, 15, definitely more likely, right? Teenagers, okay? How about 22? And you're looking at life and you're saying, "All the pain I've lived with so far, I don't want to live with anymore." Maybe it's 55, maybe it's 75. But you've gotten to the point where you're done living with the pain, the emotional pain or physical pain that you've lived with.
So a lot of times it takes, you know, the bee that stung him or annoyed him enough. I'm thinking with a lot of individuals that I've worked with, you know, it's a divorce. It's a death in the family. You know, an unresolved relationship with maybe a parent that dies. The death of a spouse. You know, I mean, my husband died over 2 years ago. And, you know, so there's a lot of endings that force you to take stock of who you are and move forward. So you can't move forward in the same way anymore, you know, when there's some sort of catastrophe.
Hopefully you don't.
Right. So you move forward with, you know, what I'm going to call integrity, honesty with yourself, which might mean that you have to face some of those painful issues.
Exactly. In fact, it takes... Very good. I like this path. So, yes, it takes... First, it takes enough desire to face those painful events from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not all from childhood. You can have adult trauma as well.
Oh, absolutely.
All right? But it takes a lot of courage. And what gives us that courage is the fed-upness
mm-hmm.
of having lived with it for as long as you've lived with it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to that point in life where you say, enough is enough, I don't care what it takes, this has to change.
Right.
Well, are you familiar with the saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear?
Yes, absolutely. It's one of my favorites.
Is it? Okay. Yeah.
And in fact, they used it in Illusions.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes.
Right.
So at that point in your life, when you get to that point where the bee has gotten to be enough irritant that you're
mm-hmm.
willing to say, I'm going to get up and move, I'm going to change this,
mm-hmm.
then you've just created me. Okay, and I'm there to show you how.
So let's kind of embark down that road, because now we've set up the understanding that babies are born with inner peace. That by the time we are 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, we've already got some baggage.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we get into elementary school, middle school, high school, we've packed a few suitcases by then.
Yes.
So, and then we may embark on college or technical careers, marriage. Maybe we're going to have kids and repeat some of those same issues. And at some point down the road, we're going to look in the mirror and go, crap, I don't like who I am anymore. I don't want to be that person anymore. And I need to find my own place. You know,
yes.
Where am I in this whole process? And start donating to the garbage trucks that are going by, you know, say, hey, take this one. I don't
want
it. Just
incinerate it.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that crap. Just incinerate it. It's
yeah.
gone.
It's gone.
And you get to live a much, look, you know, those suitcases get heavy.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Right?
Yeah. Barbells.
Barbells. And yeah. the thing is, you're not just carrying one in each hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then, by the way, they have no wheels. These suitcases have no wheels. All right?
You have big biceps by then.
You sure do. And the thing is, they're strapped around your neck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember Scrooge?
Yes.
Okay, so when Marley came to visit him, all the chains.
And
that was so symbolic of how we can go through an entire lifetime and keep adding links to those chains and dragging them with us.
I off the top of my head right now, I cannot remember the song, but there's a song that says that we've gone through life tied in chains and we didn't even realize we had the key.
Yes, yes.
Okay, you have the key.
Right.
I just help you find it again.
Right.
Okay.
And for some people, it's, you know, probably they're going to have to go through a lot in order to actually find it and then use it.
Yes. Yes. The only way to deal with emotional pain is to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no going around it. There's no going over it or under it. You just go through it.
Do you remember the name Robert Schuller?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Okay. So, you know, he had, I was able to go to it actually many years ago, but he had the cathedral, Crystal Cathedral is what he called it, out in Los Angeles. And my parents lived in the general area. And so we had gone to it one Christmas because he had a pageant of real camels, real donkeys.
Oh.
You know, everything that was in the manger was real.
Oh, gosh.
And so they would walk down the aisles with these and up onto the stage. It was a magnificent production. But he used that. In fact, I think one of his books actually said, you know, that you cannot go around your problems in life. You have to go through them in order to heal them. And so many people don't understand that. You know, they think they can somehow, you know, like even in a church setting, that they can be absolved, if you will,
no.
of whatever they're carrying with them and
no.
then move on.
No.
And that doesn't work.
No. No, it does not work. And the thing to note is that when you go through them, and the reason you don't want to go through them, obviously, is there's pain. It's painful. Come on. I get it.
Right.
That's why you need the other pain to motivate you to take this pain.
Right.
Right? When life becomes, when keeping the pain is pain more painful
mm-hmm.
than just pushing your way through the pain,
mm-hmm.
then you'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what's on the other side? So this is the good news. Listen to this part. On the other side is happiness and joy.
Mm-hmm. And that's that inner peace.
That's that inner peace. What's on the other side is freedom. Whatever that baggage was that you were carrying all this time, all these years, when you push through it, what's on the other side is no baggage anymore. It's gone. You are now lighter. That's actually the definition of enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Enlightenment is not learning something new. Enlightenment is getting rid of all that baggage. Yeah. So that you are lighter.
Right.
Hmm. That's inner peace.
So if somebody was finally saying, I'm uncomfortable enough to move, I'm going to get off this nail, then step one for them in discovering inner peace is going to be to understand what the fear was, I guess.
And there's more than one.
Right.
There are root fears, and that's what we deal with.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with the core underlining fears and then...
And move up. Okay. So one of the root fears that... Because I worked with families and with children, one of their root fears always was abandonment.
Sure.
And so being good, the good kid.
Buying the parents' approval so they'll stay together, maybe.
Right, exactly. It could be that. In many instances, it was almost like the opposite. If the firstborn got their attention by being good... Then the secondborn quite often was like, well, that place is taken, so I guess I've got to be the little shit here and constantly do things I shouldn't do. And they got their attention that way.
Yeah.
And so if there were just two kids in the family, that kind of worked.
Okay.
But underneath it was attention getting.
Sure.
So the one that was good all the time might have the fear of abandonment. If I'm not good, then... Who am I and
right.
how do I get attention?
Right.
And the one who is misbehaving all the time might be saying, well, if I stop misbehaving, then I don't get attention. And so I'm abandoned in that way.
Yep.
Correct?
Yep.
So those kinds, what other kinds of situations do you see that come to you that are not abandonment issues, but something else?
Okay. I just gave a speech recently.
Mm-hmm.
Called Fear and Business Don't Mix.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have your own business and you're an entrepreneur, you have to do a lot of things that we're typically fearful of, like picking up the 10,000 pound phone and calling a client.
Exactly.
Following up, cold calls, doing paperwork, right? These are all things we don't like to do.
For fear of rejection, usually.
Well, there's actually three, so good. Mm-hmm. So from those things we don't like to do, those fears... are fear of failure,
mm-hmm.
fear of rejection. So actually, that's the first one. Fear of rejection, and then fear of failure, and then fear of success.
Because that entails, like, I got to stay on top of this.
Well, yeah, if you succeed, I might have to get a new house. I might have to move. I might have to get all new friends and lose the friends I love, and I don't want to do that. And so, you know, I'm not going to succeed.
Or I'll only succeed to a certain degree.
To a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So these three fears are very real for people
right.
in business. And underlying them is the core fear of all fears. Okay? In fact, Tony Robbins, who's worked with millions of people, I mean like just hundreds of thousands of people changing their lives, he's determined that there's two core fears, and I'll mention what they are, and then I'll mention my take on it. The first is you're not worthy. You're not good enough
mm-hmm.
for whatever. You're not good enough, fill in the blank. That's the first fear. He feels the second fear is that you won't be loved.
And I would agree that that's probably, I would almost put that in the first one because going back to that baby, you know, the baby that comes into the world
right.
ideally is loved and wanted.
Yes.
And so people around it are constantly paying attention to the little baby boy or girl and loving on them.
Yes.
And that's a wonderful feeling to have somebody love on you,
totally.
To kiss and hug and, you know, tell you how wonderful you are and how cute you are.
Yeah.
And so we kind of hopefully grow up with that until we hit that two or three and start, you know, taking other ideas and packing our suitcases.
Yes, yes.
Full of things. But yeah, I think love is incredibly strong. And if the, let's say the father and the mother in many cases dad's working all the time or mom's working all the time. There's a divorce in the family. They are split up. And even in, you know, a young, under the age of like one, there are a lot of divorces that take place. And sure. So the baby moves sure. from spot to spot. And, you know, so those fears begin right. to develop at a very early age.
Very much so. Hmm. And my take on that is I feel that when you handle the first one, that you're not worthy mm-hmm. or not good enough, the second one takes care of itself. Mm-hmm. And, all right, so if that's the core underlining fear, mm-hmm. that you're not good enough, then when I give this presentation, we get into the two aspects of that. You're not good enough to accomplish the task, or you're not good enough to learn how to do it. Again, geared towards business, it's a business speech. Then we looked at those two aspects and determined both of those were lies. Well, if both of those are lies and they're the two underpinnings of I'm not worthy, well, then I guess I'm not worthy is a lie. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, add on some other things that I teach before this about who you really are and your true identity and your capabilities and the power in this universe. And I'm not worthy is clearly a lie at this point when I teach this. And so we can reject that fear. Mm-hmm. And now at this point, you can now build, and I help you build, the new belief that you are worthy.
Okay, so everything. I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second.
Go for it.
You know, so we've got maybe somebody, again, listening, maybe somebody that's sitting out in your workshop. And they hear the words coming out of your mouth.
Sure.
But they're thinking to themselves all of the horrible things they've maybe
done. Of course they are, yes.
During their lifetime. So they're going, well, how do I get to be worthy if I've lived a lie? How do I get to be worthy if I've cheated people? How do I get to be worthy if I've intentionally harmed mm-hmm. somebody? Mm-hmm. How do you help that individual?
Sure. So what we want is change. Right? That's what we were talking about before. The gorilla finally getting up and moving. We want change. Mm-hmm. Well, change equals growth. And growth equals two things together. Growth is knowledge. That's me standing up there talking, or me in a class with you talking. Mm-hmm. The other part you need is experience. Having an experience. You see, I could tell you all about this new restaurant that's freaking awesome.
But until you go
and taste the food, mm-hmm. see the menu, feel the experience, the ambiance, it's not awesome for you.
Right.
Right? Once you have that experience, I can't talk you out of it. Mm-hmm. Right? Now it's real for you. So I talk. Okay. I give you knowledge, but then I give you an exercise to do. In the exercise, you have an experience.
So the experience, again, for somebody who is sitting there or listening and saying, you know, I've not been a good person mm-hmm. in the majority of my life. I try to do good things, but basically I've done a lot of things that I'm ashamed that I've done.
Sure.
So for that individual, what's their experience going to be?
It's really the experience that precedes it. And that is when we talk about identity. Mm-hmm. And we change your inner story about who you think you are, and who you feel your place is. What you feel your place is in the world.
So
when we change that, with that you will have several experiences.
Okay, so maybe.
So here, let me give you an example. Let me give you an example. That story that I give you in my sessions, it would take hours to explain here. Okay, but let me give you an example. Suppose you were the king or queen of the most powerful nation in the world. Everything you say goes. Anything you say happens. You say, I want a city over here in the desert, and they build it for you. Anything you want is brought to you instantly. Would you have the fears that you have today? Of course not.
Because your words materialize it.
Exactly, because you have a life experience of power. Mm-hmm. And authority, mm-hmm. you will have a life experience of power and authority without anything else in your life changing.
I would think, and maybe this is the therapist part of me,
yes.
But I would think that somebody who had built their life over the years based upon some false concepts,
mm-hmm.
would have to go back and look at the origin of some of those false concepts and then maybe argue the point to themselves of a different ending. So I did believe this. I now see in reality it was this, and therefore I can let it go. More along those lines?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So with my teaching, we start underneath all of that. See, it's kind of like if you have a big 20-story building, all you have to do is pull out 3 support columns and the entire thing collapses.
We saw that before.
We've seen that in mm-hmm. history. That's mm-hmm. right. All you have to do is remove 3 support columns. Mm-hmm. What I do is I bring in a little bit of dynamite, you know, into your life here, and we blast out about 6 to 3/4 of the support columns. Mm-hmm. Okay? All those fears that were based on top of them, mm-hmm. most of them collapse with it. So we don't have to dig into every one. They all mm-hmm. they just collapse instantly. Mm-hmm. There are those who are most significant to you, they don't collapse instantly.
Mm-hmm.
They are still being held up.
Right.
Then we just take them one at a time and we change the belief. Mm-hmm. So how do you change a belief? Okay? You change a belief very simply. For me, the hard part is finding it.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to the core of the belief. Like the story we talked before we got on the show here about there were surface level things, but underneath it was a fear.
Right.
Right? When we got to that fear, we were able to, we didn't do it with you because we were doing it third party at that point. When we get to your fear, when we get to the core belief, the essence of what it is that you're believing that is disempowering to you, all we have to do is tell the truth about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we state it accurately. This is my fear, in so many words, state it concisely and precisely. And then we tell the truth, because it's a lie. If it's disempowering you, if it's giving you bad feelings, it's a lie. So we tell whatever the truth is. And once you tell that truth again with emotion, we've changed the belief. We've created a new belief that is on top of the old one.
Hmm.
So when your mind goes to look for the old belief because of the same stimuli, somebody did whatever it is they do that always triggers that belief for you,
mm-hmm.
right? When they do that stimuli again, what your mind finds is the new belief.
So with repetition, it will go there more easily.
Now you're asking about how to program the mind.
Okay.
And there are multiple ways to program the mind.
Mm-hmm.
One is repetition.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that in the forms of spoken or written affirmations.
Right.
Okay. Another way to program the mind is with emotional freedom technique.
Right. And for people out there, that's called tapping. And you can actually tap different places on your body, but the easiest is just to use your hand.
Well, what's really cool about the different places is that they are all mapped to various segments of the cerebral cortex.
Mm-hmm.
And by tapping in the various locations that they teach, and there's billions, not that many, there's hundreds if not thousands of videos on YouTube
mm-hmm.
about how to do EFT. It's also explained how in my book.
Right.
So when you tap on the various places, by doing that, you are actually stimulating all the areas, all the components, segments
mm-hmm.
of your cerebral cortex.
Right.
And by saying an affirmation with that tapping, which
right.
is how it's done,
right.
you are programming the frequency of the affirmation into this entire cerebral cortex so that it becomes natural and normal for it to pass right through, past the cerebral cortex, into the belief systems of the mind.
Mm-hmm. There's several people lately that I've been helping do EFT. And, you know, you can redirect them to, like you said, a YouTube video or something that they can see. But the importance, I guess I would say, of making sure that the statement, the affirmation, so it usually begins with, even though I used to believe,
mm-hmm.
And then you put in your belief. So even mm-hmm. though I used to believe that I had to be nice to everyone in order to be accepted, I now know that, and so you change it.
Yes, that's one way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Another way would be to just go for the positive part.
Mm-hmm.
I am whatever it is you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I am are magical words, and anything you...
Do you know where I am came from?
From the Bible.
Right.
I am that I am.
Right.
And you are.
I actually, when I was in my freshman year of college, I had the most amazing professor And I didn't like typical history classes. So I took Old Testament and New Testament. And, of course, that is in the Old Testament part with Moses and the burning bush. And so he was there with the burning bush, supposedly, saying, you know, how am I going to take these very big stone tablets down to these crazy people below? They're not going to believe me.
Right.
And the bush's comment was, tell them I am who I am.
Exactly. I am that I am.
So, yeah, and it's for most Jewish people and other faiths, I am is translated as Yahweh.
Yahweh, yeah, exactly. Adonai, God.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'll rephrase my answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that it comes from the Bible. It comes from God.
Right.
So that's way more significant, I think.
We have all of these unique abilities to heal ourselves. We just don't know that we have those abilities.
Right.
So.
Exactly. So any statement you make with beginning with the words I am, by the way, how many times, again talking to the audience here, how many times have you used the words I am to beat yourself up?
Yeah, a negative belief behind it.
Okay. So anything you say, positive, anything you say, positive mm-hmm. or negative, with the words I am,
mm-hmm.
becomes reality. You program yourself to make that reality.
So it's really, really important for people to kind of, at least I've always told them, it's so important to think before they speak.
Amen.
Because if they're saying, I'm sick and tired of, or I am so exhausted,
So guess what you become? Exhausted. You become sick and tired.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So
if you say, I am awesome, mm-hmm. I am happy, I am loved, I am worthy of love,
mm-hmm.
right? I am... Whatever.
Whatever.
Fill in the blank. Whatever it is you want to be, mm-hmm. program yourself. We're talking about programming the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Program yourself to be that by saying, I am that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that with EFT.
Right.
Okay. More programming the mind. Hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I am a certified hypnotist.
Right.
And hypnosis is phenomenal. It worked. I've been hypnotized. Anybody afraid of hypnosis?
I think a lot of people are because they're afraid somebody's going to make them do something stupid.
Yeah. Well, okay. So that's fun, all right? I was in... The only people who are going to make you do something stupid are stage hypnotists.
Right.
If you volunteered to be in the show, you get what you deserve, okay? And I did. So I was up there on stage. I loved it. I was hypnotized. What was really cool... So when you're under hypnosis, nobody can make you do anything. It's all about you're given a suggestion... And then you choose to play.
Mm-hmm.
And you're way more apt to choose to play than when you're not hypnotized.
Right.
Okay. So one of the things I was told was, because he told the group of us that when I do whatever, scratch his forehead or something, then you'll fall madly in love with the hypnotist. Okay?
Okay.
The stage hypnotist, right?
All right.
So he comes to me and does it, right? After a good two, three women, and then he comes to, and I get up and I say, I'm already in love with you. Because I knew him and I was in love. I really did love the man, okay? But it was so easy to play. I've been hypnotized hundreds of times. I've actually gone to hypnosis workshops and workshops where you're hypnotized most of the time during the workshop.
Mm-hmm.
I went to one, the man's name was Marshall Silver, an amazing, amazing guy, amazing. and at one point he goes, so he brings us back out of hypnosis, wakes us up,
mm-hmm.
and he goes, how long do you think you were in trance? 20 minutes? 30? Well, let's see, we did one earlier, it was an hour, so maybe an hour 15, hour 30, what? 4 hours.
Wow.
I don't think he stopped talking once, okay, for 4 hours. But we were in trance for 4 hours.
And you had no idea.
No idea. No idea. But I'll tell you what, the next day, you see, here's the thing. Hypnosis will change you
mm-hmm.
quickly, very quickly. I'm going to give a story of how quickly it happens. You need to trust the person who's hypnotizing you.
Absolutely.
Okay, you do want to trust them because they... could do damage.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you what, if you go, you pay somebody to hypnotize you, you go to a workshop, they're not going to say anything that will harm you. Okay, I can assure you. Just, you know, and I'll tell you what, you still have filters in hypnosis. You can still hear it and filter it. You can say, I don't agree with that. I'm not going to take that in. So, how fast? Marshall Silver, I'm at his workshop. It's a 4-day workshop. Every single morning after the first day. So the first day, the morning of the second, third, and fourth, and fifth, and for the week later, every single day, I wake up and I'll have like some bizarre thought. And that's my phone buzzing. I'll have this bizarre thought, and then I'll ask myself an empowering thought, an amazing thought, a thought that was greatly beneficial to me. And my next thought is, what? Where did that come from? That's not me. And the next thought is, oh, I guess that is me now. Thank you very much, Marshall.
Right?
So that's how fast hypnosis can change you. The next day.
That's pretty amazing. You know, that transformation can happen that quickly.
Yes.
I know a lot of people use hypnosis for things like weight loss, stop smoking, you know, getting through maybe a very difficult procedure that they're having done,
sure.
A physical procedure, and they don't want to go through maybe narcotics to do it, and so they will use hypnosis
for pain relief.
Yeah, pain control. But it's been around for a very, very long time.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, I would say that it's maybe a 50-50.
As far as working?
Well, as far as the belief system that I can trust hypnosis. You know, a lot of people still think of the stage, and they don't see the actual benefit of hiring somebody to do hypnosis because it has that theatrical aspect in their mind still.
Sure. Well, getting past the theatrical aspect, and mind you, the theatrical aspect is a whole lot of fun. Okay, both being in it and watching it, because I've watched his show, that particular hypnotist's show, Mark Usyk. Why not? There's his name, Mark Usyk. I love the man, and I've watched his show probably 4 or 5 times. I was in it twice. I totally love that guy. What was I going to say about that? Oh, the changing the mind. So let's get, just for clarity, once you get past the theatrical part, what is it? It is a means of programming the mind. Your mind, which, so sitting on, you know, sitting in your skull, okay, on the top of your neck, is your brain. That is an organ of the body made up of cells, all right? And it's like a computer. It's just like a Microsoft computer a Windows, Apple or a Windows computer, right? It's the machine. The brain is the machine.
And we're the programmers.
Yeah, we are. Sitting, you know, running in the machine is the operating system. That's your mind and all your belief systems. Everything you believe, that's the operating system running in the computer. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
And then running, so a stimuli occurs. And your operating system says, I need to run a program to respond to the stimuli. So it goes to the file cabinet and grabs the program associated with that stimuli and plays it. Those are your beliefs. Okay? And you can change your beliefs. That's where you become the programmer.
Right.
When you want to change a belief, you create a new program in your mind through any of the methods we just talked about. And now your life changes.
Right.
Because the stimuli occurs.
Well, I'm going to use another little analogy here to help some people grasp what we're talking about.
Sure.
A person that has a stroke, that can change their belief systems. It changes their mind. It changes who they thought they were because they can't remember sometimes. And that may never come back. So instead of, you know, that's not the hypnosis that you want.
No.
you want to be able to do it without having a stroke. But the analogy is that is sometimes the connection points are disrupted when you have a stroke. And so what I think hypnosis does through changing the belief is it changes those connection points.
And absolutely. In fact, there's physiological proof that hypnosis rewires the brain.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. You can rewire your brain.
But most people, again, I mean, that sounds so science fiction. Like, how can I rewire my brain? And it's done because of the affirmations. It's done because you change the chemistry that's going on in your, not only your brain, but you change it throughout your whole body. Because your cells listen to the message that your brain gives them.
Yeah, it's actually in the DNA.
Right. So, you know, all of those little neurotransmitters are responding to whatever's going on in your brain, in your skull. And when you begin to change the neurotransmitters, then everything changes. But you have to start it someplace. You have to flip the switch that says, this is the new message.
Mm-hmm.
And now it travels throughout your body. So the foot, the leg, the arm that maybe wasn't functioning before can begin to function if it's getting a different message.
The stomach, the heart, the
lungs.
Yeah,
all of it.
There's a, what do you call those things in DNA? The
Telomeres.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they've determined what a lot of them are.
Mm-hmm.
They've also determined how many more they still haven't a clue what they are.
Right.
And yet, when you make these changes to your mind and the way you think, then they've actually seen changes in those telomeres beyond the range of what we understand.
Right. Well, you can actually get your telomeres to stop shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by feeding them differently, feeding your body differently, because
mm-hmm.
the telomeres are on the caps of the chromosomes.
Mm-hmm.
And as they continue to shrink, you reach a point where the cell dies.
Yes, yes.
And so it's senescence, but it's, you know, the cell will absolutely die.
Yeah.
So you want to stop that if you want to live a long life. And part of it is what you do with your thoughts, and part of it is how you feed your body. Because if you're continuing to do all the Big Macs in the world, the telomeres aren't going to make it that long.
So let me come back to your statement that, your statement that it's difficult to believe that that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
My answer to that, my first answer to that was, come on now, it's 2020. All right? Everything from Star Trek, most of the things from Star Trek we already have, and the rest we will have probably in the next century.
Right. They just need to go to Disney and go into the Star Wars.
Yesterday's magic is today's science.
That is so true. So true. And I mean, I think about even when I was a little girl and went to the dentist office, I was terrified. And it was scary. You know, today kids, when they go to the dentist for their cleanings or something.
Yeah, it's magical.
It's magical.
It's Disney.
Yeah. I mean, they love going.
Yes, they love going.
So, okay. Well, we've got a little bit of time here for wrap up. So I want to let you again. I just think it's so fun to have you here. And we talk about things that are meaningful in the way that people can honestly and truly begin to change their lives by changing their thoughts.
Yes.
And I think that's critically important for people to understand. So how can they get hold of you one more time?
Sure. The website is ideserveaperfectlife.com. ideserveaperfectlife.com. My phone number is there. There's email links and everything, plus all the social media links are there. Watch the testimonials. And then after you watch a testimonial, ask yourself, do I want that change myself?
Mm-hmm. Do I want my life to look different?
Yep.
Yeah. And I would say the majority of people are going to say, hell yes, I want my life to look different.
Amen.
So, all right. Well, thank you so ever so much. I started to say something else for being here. And we're going to see you back in May. And in the meantime, anyone who did not get to hear Paul live today on our Saturday program, please send them to synergyconnectionradio.com. The shows are archived there, and his show will be up, for anybody to listen to. If you go to show notes in particular, it makes it very easy to find the shows because the topic and their name is right there. I do post them on LinkedIn. I post them on Facebook, and Synergy Connection Radio has a new Facebook page too.
Cool.
So it'll be posted there. If you get an opportunity, I would encourage you again to please go into Boomers Forever Young. You do need foundational nutrition. Paul is wonderful in his eating habits. So he's in really good shape. But a lot of people, you know, it's the potato chips, it's the, you know, junk food. And so if you're going to do that to some moderation, then for goodness sake, you know, think about something like the Boomer Boost and the barley as your foundation, because that way you're feeding the body cells. And that's important if we're going to change our thoughts. Mm-hmm. We have to have the energy to do that.
Definitely.
All right. Well, thank you again for being my guest. And everybody out there, make it your best life. Thanks so much for joining me, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.